Thank you, and thank you, choir, and thank you, congregation, for singing. Thank each of you for being here. I know that it's a little tight on some of those pews, and I appreciate you just smashing in there, and thank you. We'll certainly be timely here, but I want to just rejoice in the resurrection. It's what brings us all together. Why would we be here in this building with these stained glass windows brightly lit? How could we not brightly light our auditorium if we're talking about the Son of God who rose with all the brightness of eternity? And the sun did rise again, the S-O-N, just like the S-U-N rises. But thank the Lord for you being here, and we're certainly thankful for celebrate with you. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we get into our passage this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you find your place there in 1 Corinthians 15, I usually start off with something a little funny, and I heard this story on these three pastors were going out fishing on Good Friday. Soft, and they figured, well, they all love to fish, they're area pastors, and they came together, and they were going to fish and have a good time, but they thought when they got out there, one of them said, hey, the Bible says confess your faults one to another, why don't we do that? Well, all three were reluctant, even the one that spoke up and said it, but they said, well, okay. And so the first guy said, well, I'll start. It was his idea, I'll start. He said, well, I tell you, he said, I got a gambling problem. He said, sometimes put my ball cap on and sunglasses, I slip over the casino and try to pull those one-armed bandits, you know, if they even have those anymore. And he says, well, it's just a big problem of mine. The next guy says, well, he says, I hate to admit it, he said, but I've got a cheating problem. He says, boy, I just between us, he said, my taxes, I haven't been honest on those for a long time, and if I can see my way clear, I kind of cheat, and I shouldn't do that. Well, the other guy, the third one that agreed to it, but now he's not really speaking up, he's just antsy over there, like a little schoolgirl, he's just jumping up and down, he's excited about making that boat shake or tip, they said, well, what's yours? And he almost like he didn't want to tell, and he was just so excited, giddy almost, and they said, well, we told you ours, now tell us yours, confess your faults, and we can lift one another up. And he said, well, I hate to tell you, he said, but I've got a real problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat to go share to everybody in town your problems. So some of us are like that. Be careful who you tell your problems to, I guess. Well, I tell you, I want to preach on the power of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, listen to this phrase, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep or have died, they fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want to preach for a few moments about the power of the resurrection. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We'll thank you for it. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're listening on the radio, we're coming to you from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I forgot to give you that earlier, and we're certainly glad you've joined us for this Easter service. But I came to speak to you this morning about the most important truth of all of history, the resurrection. You say, Pastor, what about the cross? We put it here in the front of the church to remind us of the cross, the real cross on Calvary. That's good. What about creation? The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that's good. What about the blood? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What about Jesus' blood that he shed? What about Bethlehem? As the prophets foretold, O thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be small among the nations. What about Bethlehem when Christ was enrobed in human flesh? All of those are wonderful parts of the story that God has given to us for redemption, but none of those complete the picture. The resurrection does. R.A. Torrey, a preacher of yesteryear, said this, without the resurrection, the death of Christ was only the heroic death of a noble martyr. But with the resurrection, it is the atoning death of the Son of God. You see, there's been lots of people who would go as a martyr to say, I'm going to die for my cause. But only one was deity himself, who had no sin on his own right or his own merit. He took upon him our sin and our merit. And so the cross started it. Bethlehem started it. Creation started it. But the cross, or the resurrection rather, finished it. Haven't we all started a project? We started on something, and you wives know what you're talking about, that husband of yours that has got the projects won for the last 3 years. I read one time, said, don't remind a man every 6 months that he's still got a project. He'll remember it. He'll get it in 4 or 5 years. Probably a project that should have taken 3 weeks. But we've got projects that we started. There was a house up our road when I lived in a certain town in West Virginia when I was first born. And this guy, he had the wrap around the outside of the house. I think they had the inside mostly finished, but the outside just stayed for years and years and years. You say, did he ever get it finished? I don't know. We finally moved after so many years, so I don't know. As far as I know, it's still undone. But Calvary was the sacrifice, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the completion of the story. It was the completion of the project. It was the exclamation point, so to speak, on the whole story of redemption. It was that that made it signed, sealed, and delivered. Jesus Christ is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. I read a story about this man that was looking in the large window of an old downtown department store, and inside that window there was a large portrait in there, a large painting rather, in there, and it was of Jesus on the cross. It had some soldiers. And as this man looked through the window at that portrait, there was a little boy from a Sunday school who had been going to Sunday school class and learning, and he thought he was becoming quite the theological scholar. And so he came around the corner after Sunday school, and he saw that guy peering in the window, and he looked at him and he said, Mister, that's Jesus on the cross. And the fellow didn't say anything. And so he kept on looking, and the boy said, Mister, those soldiers, they killed him. And still the man didn't say anything. And he said once again, Mister, them disciples that were of his, they put him in the ground. They buried him. And about that time, the man turned and walked away. And so that little boy just looked at that painting. As he looked long enough, it was almost like a light bulb went off in his mind. The man was about a half a block down the street, and he ran as fast as he could to get to the man. He said, Mister. And when he got there, the guy finally turned around and looked at him. And he said, Mister, I forgot to tell you, he came up out of the grave on the third day. He didn't want to go let the story go unfinished. And in our lives, my life, your life, this church's life, we need to not let the story go unfinished. We don't serve a God that just went to the grave and sacrificed himself, although that is part of the story. But he had victory over that grave and that death and rose again. I want to look at a few things from this passage here. In verse number 14, we see that there's a vain message without the resurrection. If Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, in our world, it seems to be that we've got a watered down, homogenized, belittled, generic message that's given out and about. Sometimes it's given by politicians that we all believe, let's rally around that great force. Or let's have faith, and they're just very generic in all of it. And it comes forth from pulpits like this sometimes without the definition about the true message of the gospel, and that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can be religious all you want, and we can speak of power, and we can speak of some God of some sort, but it's not until the power of the resurrection is brought out in your life or a church's life or an organization's life that we have the victory, as the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You today, are you one that's a believer? Not only that you mentally give assent to the fact that Jesus lived some 2,000 years ago, but are you a believer, a truster, a relier? Does your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, without that resurrection, it's a vain message? I read of a father and son, and some of you have heard this illustration, riding along in the car, and there was a bee buzzing around. And the father was able to reach out and capture the bee in his hand. He didn't smash it. He wasn't able to do that, but he had it in his hand. A couple seconds later, he released it, and it started buzzing around again. And the boy that was riding the car with the father did exactly the same thing when it first got in the car. He started getting all frayed and weirded out and thinking, Daddy, it's going to get me. But he told him, oh, no, son. When I grabbed him, it stung me in the hand, although you didn't know it. Now it can only make noise. And my friend, there's a lot of noise being made in the world right now. There's a lot of complaining. There's a lot of buzzing around. A lot of people that are questioning everything that this book stands for, but everything that our nation has stood for some 200 years. There's a lot of noise, but there can be, but because of the resurrection, our faith is not in vain. The Bible says in verse 56 of that same chapter that we're in, O death, where is thy sting? Verse 55, O grave, where is thy victory? I see the vain message, but look at verse number 17. Not only a vain message, but then a useless faith. If we don't have a resurrection at the end of the story, a useless faith. Look at verse 17. In Christ, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. There's a lot of talk, as already alluded to, about faith and about a man of the cloth, a person of faith, all of these definitions of people who are religious by nature. But may I tell you, unless that faith is centered on the resurrected Jesus Christ, that faith is useless. Faith is wonderful, but faith misplaced is about the equivalent to non-existent faith. I worked at McDonald's when I was 15, and that's where I met Amy when I was 18. And so I had to wait a long time. If she'd have come sooner, I'd have quit. But she didn't come till I was 18. But when I was 15, I couldn't drive legally, and so we did around the farm, but I couldn't in town. And so I was dependent on getting rides from my family members or friends on my way in, way back to work. And so one particular time, I was waiting after my shift, and one of my family members, who will remain unnameless or nameless because one of these days they may come visit us, and I don't want you to think bad of them. But boy, that family member, I was counting on them. I got off at a certain time. I went out to the lobby of McDonald's where usually they were waiting, and I went there, and sure enough, wouldn't you know it, they forgot me. I had placed my faith in the wrong person. And I say it kindly, but I believe there's a lot of folks in our world today, very religious, moral, and they really have a heart to truly do what's right. But they're trusting in their morality, they're trusting in their religion, or they're trusting in something other than the resurrected Christ. And my friend, I see the useless faith without the resurrection, but not only do we see that, I want you to look at verse number 20 that we didn't read, but we will now. Not only the vain message and the useless faith, but then I want to tell you what I came to tell you, and that is the powerful promise because of the resurrection. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept or died. For since by man came death, by man come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I get the wonderful joy as the pastor of this great church to tell you that we serve a living Savior. He didn't stay dead in there. You can go to the grave of every religious leader, every other person for that matter, and you won't find, you may find their DNA, you may find some remnants of what their body used to be, but you will not with Jesus. Now, once in a while, people will tell me, well, Jesus isn't the only one that got raised from the dead. What about Lazarus? Well, let's think about that story for a moment. Lazarus did die. And after 4 days, Jesus raised him from the dead. But you know what happened to Lazarus again? I imagine Lazarus says, oh, I don't want to go through that again. But he died. But my friend, Jesus rose again, and he is alive forevermore. I get that wonderful joy to tell you he lives forever. You say, well, who said that he arose? Well, the Bible says that the angel did. He's not here, for he is risen. There were over 500 in the verse before this, in the chapter there, above 500 folks he was seen. And most of those at the writing of these pages, when they were written in their original autographs, those people, most of them were still alive. They had seen the resurrected Christ. The disciples said that he rose again. The majority of the disciples went to martyr's death, meaning they gave their life for the faith of Jesus Christ. And somebody says, well, there's people that give their lives for a cause right now. There's false religions that people, suicide bombers and things, will give their life. But can I tell you the difference on that? I've thought through this some time back. People that give their life for a false religion, they are giving their lives not for a religion that they saw firsthand, but they have been hyped up by their parents, their grandparents, and those people, by their parents and their great-grandparents. They have been hyped up for generations that this is what you do. But that's not who the disciples were. The disciples, if they did not believe the resurrection, they gave their life for a lie. And my friend, you don't do that. You might give your life for a martyred cause that you've been taught from birth that happened some years ago, but not like these disciples, because they saw and they were willing to go to death for the story, the truth of the resurrection. And one person brought out like this, not only were they the firsthand watchers, the witnesses of that, but also you see what they gave their life for, the good of mankind. And suicide bombers that we hear about on the news, they take their life or give their life for the detriment or death of mankind. But here we see a powerful promise because of the resurrections. The angels said it. Over 500 people said it, and the disciples said it. But can I tell you personally, you ask me how I know he lives? As the songwriter penned, he lives within my heart. And so this morning, I've come to deliver one message that maybe most of you know. There was a Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to die for your sins and mine. And we have victory today because of the resurrection. We all had a problem. Every pastor, every choir member, every usher, everybody you meet out on the street, we had a universal problem. One person put it like this: we might not all sin alike. The things you do might not be what somebody else does, which might not be what I do, but we all alike sin. We may not have the same tags on all the wrongdoings we have, but all of us have the tag of wrongdoer. So all of us sin. And Jesus Christ left heaven's glory to ultimately die on that cross. And when he was dying on that cross, he had your sins and my sins. He loved this pastor so much. He loved you so much that he died on that cross where he did not deserve to be. Can you understand this for just for a moment, what happened? All of our wrongdoings, and not ours, but of the world, our wrongdoings, God placed them on Jesus Christ. Every sin that I've ever done, he placed them on Christ. So when the Father had to turn away from him, that was because he was made sin who knew no sin. So that ultimately, when we came to faith in Christ, God saw his Son in our sin so that he could see us with Jesus' righteousness. He not only washed away our sins, but he imputed, means shoved in there in old West Virginia terms, he imputed, shoved in there, his righteousness. And that's why we can rejoice about heaven being our home, because the resurrected Christ signed, sealed, and delivered the salvation message. Do you believe that today? Are you a believer? Let me ask it further. Not only do you believe it up here, yes, I give mental assent to the fact that Jesus was a historical figure, and yes, it looks like the tomb was empty. Yes, that's good mental facts. But that word believe in even John 3:16, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That brings the connotation or the notion of trusting, relying, depend. That person that puts their belief, their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ. I gave you the silly story about trusting one of my family members to come get me, and they failed me. No big deal, because I wasn't looking for heaven or hell. I was just looking for a ride home. But my friend, the stakes are much higher than they were just getting a ride home. I'm preaching to you this morning that God desires every single person to go to heaven, to live with Him forever. He desired that so much that He paid for the sins, which are the things that would keep you out of heaven, but instead condemn you to a Christless eternity in hell. And so my question again is, do you believe that story, that true story of Jesus Christ leaving heaven, spending some 33 years on this earth, going to an old rugged cross, but literally taking care of your sins and mine? And then after 3 days, He rose in victory over death, hell, and the grave completely. And I'm asking everybody not to believe it here only, but to take it from here. You know what it's like when you tell your spouse, I love you with all my heart. That means that from the very essence of my being, I love you. And that's where we receive, we believe on Christ from our heart. He really was the Son of God. As the centurion told on that day that He was killed on the cross, truly this was the Son of God. And my friend, if you're here, religious, maybe you are. You're at a church service on Easter morning. But maybe you're not certain that your trust, your reliance, and your dependence is on Jesus Christ. Would you in your life and in your heart trust the resurrected Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you're here and you are saved, would you do me a favor? Before you pillow your head tonight, would you spend a few moments just musing, thinking, dwelling, letting this all soak in on you, that this is not a fairy tale? Sometimes I remind myself, these actors, we sometimes look at them as actors on the page. They're not actors on the page. Truly, Jesus Christ lived, died, rose again. So if you're a Christian in here, I challenge you before you go to sleep tonight that you pull out for 5 or 10 minutes and just let this all sink down in on you one more time and remind yourself how blessed it is to serve a risen Savior. Would you bow your heads together with me? I'm talking about the power of the resurrection. The Bible says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. If you're here tonight, today, and you're not sure in your heart that you put your faith, your belief in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, my friend, Jesus didn't come to make your life better, although He makes it better. Jesus didn't come to give you great relationships with your family, although He does do that. He came to save us from our sins. And if you've never received Him as your Savior for the forgiveness of sins, today is the day that I challenge you to do it. Father, bless us now is our prayer, please. We'll certainly thank You for it. Would you stand together with us if you're able as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart this morning, I challenge you to step out and come. Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. I just gave you the clearest way that I could, told you about the gospel message. And if you there in your seat, you believe Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us from our sins, my friend, wouldn't you do more than just say, yeah, that I believe that happened? Would you, from a heart of honesty, look to Him in faith and believe on Him as your Savior? Years ago, I realized these truths that I'm just sharing with you today. And I prayed a prayer something like this. I said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, because I knew I was, folks. I know, Jesus, You died on the cross and rose again, and I did know those truths. I'm asking You to forgive my sins. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. And maybe today, you need to pray a prayer or something like that in your heart. Not sure that you've got your faith placed solely, completely in Jesus Christ. My friend, on this Easter morning, I would shore it up and be certain. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm admitting that. Please forgive me of my sins. I turn to you as my only hope of heaven. I trust you, rely on you. If you're here today and you've got some spiritual need, Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit to preach from. Just wanted to give a moment for you to slip out and come. I know we're tight in here, but I believe it'd be well worth your walk. If the Lord leads you to, then I want you to. If he doesn't, then just pray there at your seat. But if you need some spiritual help, some guidance, some help, maybe you need assistance in some way or another, then slip out and come and let him or somebody else take a Bible and show you how you can be sure those answers get given biblically. Well, thank you. You can look this way. I don't know where I would want to be more than I want to be here on Resurrection Sunday. And friends, there's only one reason why we can rejoice in this goodness. There's only one reason I even know you folks, or you know me, and that's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no matter how bad your week gets, no matter how bad your life gets, or mine, may we rejoice in the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of his resurrection, I know that I'm not staying down here. Same power that raised him from the dead will get me to heaven as well. Praise the Lord for that. Brother Daniel's going to come and just take a moment, 1 minute, and give you some announcements, let you know some things going on that you can help us with. And then from Amy and I and our girls, we say to you, Happy Resurrection Day. God bless you. We'll be at the back. If we could do anything for each of you, any of you, then we'll certainly enjoy meeting with you there.
We said earlier in the service that if you're a guest with us, we're so glad that you're here. And if you did take that Connect card and fill it out, don't forget to stop at the Connect the guest services counter and drop that off and get your gift. And we want to thank you for being here. And maybe you are a guest today, or maybe you've been coming recently and you want to know more about the church here in just a few weeks. I want to invite you out to a class on April 30th, 10 o'clock in the morning during our Sunday school hour in the Family Life Center, our gymnasium over across the parking lot. Our pastor will be meeting with those who are newer to the church, want to know more, maybe you're interested in membership or just getting to know more about the church, you can come to that class and go over some different things and get to meet him. Maybe you've not had a chance to meet him and Amy before, and so you're invited to that on April the 30th. There's a sign-up sheet if you want to put your name on to say that you're going to be there, and we'll have food. It'll be a wonderful time. We want you to know that that is coming up. And then as you go, there's also a photo spot in the middle of the lobby as you go. That lattice is set up. We set that up there. If you'd like to get an Easter picture with your family, feel free to use that for that. And I know there's going to be a little bit of traffic, so you got to wait for some of it to die. That's what it's there for, though, and we'd love to have you do that. And if you want to and you come to church here and you want to put that, send that picture in, we're going to have trying to update some of our directory, and those would be fantastic pictures for that as well. And then one final thing, just want you to consider, if you're able. I know some have a lot of things going on Easter Sunday, but tonight we're going to be observing the Lord's table in the evening service. We'd love to have you back for the service tonight at 6:30. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the day you gave us today so far, and Lord, we're halfway through the day, and we're just so grateful to be celebrating this day. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the time, the fellowship, and then the family time this afternoon as we all remember the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.